Okay, gentlemen, can you hear me? Can you see me? How is your COVID going? Getting better? Okay, excellent. Yes, Hashem, you should get back to the basement as soon as possible. Okay, gentlemen, what I want to continue doing today is just taking inventory on the process of Hashaka. And then I want to get into practical mikveh construction. So if you remember, hashaka means I have kosher mikveh water and 40 sa'ah, let's say, of water, and that comes in contact with some pasul water, with some water which is she'uvim. So somehow, miraculously, that water now becomes kosher. And what we discussed is that there's a fundamental machlokes as to whether this principle of hashaka is based on the halachic category of zriya, meaning just like if I have a tamei vegetable and I plant it in the ground, that vegetable becomes tahar. So also, if I have the Mishnah tells me in Beitza Yud-Zayin that I have tamei water and I put it in the mikvah, it becomes tahar. Perhaps she'uvin. Perhaps water that's drawn by hand or just pasul for a mikvah, perhaps that water also becomes tahar, also becomes kosher if I touch it to other water. That is one approach. The other approach is saying that no, that the principle of zri'ah is limited to tumah tahara, but the way that hashaka works by a mikvah is it creates a single basin, right? It means that because this tame water, this water that was drawn, because this water, which is not kosher for a mikvah, is now connected to other water, to water that is kosher, it makes it a single basin. And a single basin is able, I can go into the mikvah in it because it's now kosher, since it's all one basin. And we noted some of the practical differences in terms of the shach and se'if katan and kufiyut beis as to whether the plug between the mikvahs has to be open. If it's a single base, it has to be open. And we spoke yesterday about the concept of nasan sa'ah and natal sa'ah, the concept that if you have water that's kosher and you put more water in, and then you remove the water, then you remove the water, right? The ship of Tarsus. So in that situation, is it the kosher water or not when all is done? That was yesterday's shiur. Today, I want to talk just very briefly about two related topics. The first related topic is a Beis Yosef on page Resh Nun Beis in our Beis Yosef, and it ends up also being Shulchan Aruch in Se'if Mem. Can I do Hashaka to a Ma'ayan? Right? Remember, a mikveh is 40 sa'ah of stagnant water. What a ma'ayan is flowing water from the ground. Can I take she'uvim? Can I take pasul water that was drawn by hand? And can I put that pasul water in contact with a ma'ayan and thereby be machshir the pasul water? Does that work? So Shulchan Aruch tells me in Se'if Mem, it's a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah, like everything in Hilchos Mikvaos. The Mechaber tends to be Meiko and the Ramah tends to be Machmir. It's like this, by the way, in Hilchos Shechita also, no? They say that it's really hard to be an Ashkenazi because like we're Machmir and everything. But in Se'if Mem in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that a Ma'ayan cannot become pasul with She'uvin. The Rama writes, "Nahagul." This issue was the famous fight, apparently, in the mikveh in Regensburg. Right, the Mordechai again. This is the Beis Yosef, page 252. The Mordechai tells us a story that there's a mikveh that came from a ma'ayan in Regensburg, and less than 40 sa'ah remained, and then some water that was she'uvin fell into it, and a certain Rabbi Moshe Reb Chisdai said it's pasul, and the Mordechai says, I don't know why it's pasul, it's a ma'ayan fundamentally, and it should be kosher, right? So that's the issue. Now, what does this issue depend upon conceptually? The question as to whether a ma'ayan can satisfy or can solve the problem of she'uvin, what does that depend on? Okay, so you should know the answer, because you've been talking about this for 2 days. What does it depend on? Zriya versus Hashaka. Does it depend that, like, I'm planting the water? If it's like I'm planting the water, so ma'ayan water can also solve a problem of she'uvin. But if I hold, then it has to become a single place. So by definition, a ma'ayan is not a single place. It moves around and around and around, no? That's what a wellspring is. It starts over here, finishes over there. I can't say it all becomes the same place when I add the she'uvin to it. So therefore, it will not be machshir. That is the way this idea is presented in the Chelkas Binyamin Si'if Katin Reish Mem. He presents the question this way. Of course, this begs the issue, because if you assume that Ma'ayan will permit She'uvim, and you assume that to be a Ma'ayan to permit She'uvim, you do not need 40 Sa'ah of water in a Ma'ayan, because on the level of Da'ivaisa, a Ma'ayan does not need 40 Sa'ah. It only needs 40 Sa'ah in order to, right? A Ma'ayan does not need 40 Sa'ah, let's say, to immerse a Keli, only for Tevilas Adam and a Machlokas Rambam and the Rai, but on the one hand, and the rest of Judaism on the other hand. That's whether you need 40 Sa'ah by Ma'ayan. Those who say that it's going to be kosher assume that a ma'ayan without 40 sa'ah, that's the case in Shulchan Aruch, a ma'ayan without 40 sa'ah has the kosher status. Well, we're saying that a ma'ayan that doesn't have 40 sa'ah has the kosher status, meaning the requirement of 40 sa'ah is only so that my entire body is covered when I immerse, but it has the din of a ma'ayan without it. Right? The proof in the pudding, so to speak, or the proof in the ma'ayan, is that it works for a keli. So it is a good ma'ayan. Grand, amazing. And those who are machmir possibly say that it works within hashaka, like we spoke about. It works based on connecting to the same area. That is the way the Sefer Imre Moshe quotes from Reb Chaim. The Imre Moshe goes to Reb Chaim that those who say that a ma'ayan does not work to permit she'uvim is because the heter of hashaka is based on chibur, making it a single area. Okay, great. Well, here's the other problem, though. On the level of the oraisa, the Gemara in Nazir tells me, I don't need a mikvah 40 sa'ah, no? How much does a mikvah have to be on the level of the Raisa? Revius, right? Mamash, right? Revius, not even the Chazanish Revius. Chazanish Revius is about 150 milliliters. Rebabim Chayim, Noz Revius is 86 milliliters, no? Difference between like 2 ounces and 4.5 ounces, right? Pesach is coming. We got to know these numbers. But here's the thing. Is anyone going to say that hashaka to a revius of water would solve all the problems in Judaism? I have mayim she'uvim, right? I have water that is puzzled. I drew the water with a bucket. I pour the water into an area that has a revius of kosher water. Are you going to tell me that at least on the level of the oraisa, this is a kosher basin to immerse in? No one has ever made that suggestion. Well, people have made that suggestion, but no one has seriously made that suggestion in the history of Judaism. And the question as to why that is true is worthy of thinking about. Why, again, if I hold the Ama'ayam kosher who works to permit she'uvim, even though I can't immerse in the Ama'ayam kosher, I need 40 sa'ah to immerse in, but that's just to cover my body. So therefore, the Ma'ayan kosher who permits she'uvim, grand, amazing. Well, if that's the case, shouldn't the mikveh of a revius, which also is kosher on the level of the Oraisa, but rabbinically it doesn't work, shouldn't that also permit she'uvim? And if I say that, by the way, I just got rid of the entire din of she'uvim ever on the level of the Oraisa. You're never going to have a situation where you have less than a revius of water, no?
Isn't the revius is just for
kelim? So revius is just for kelim. In other words, it could be that on the level of the oraisa for a human to go into the mikvah, revius doesn't do anything. Right, that's possible. And then I'm going to say that, what, the ba'ama'ayan Right? Even though a human requires 40 sa'ah by a ma'ayan, right? Well, how's a ma'ayan different than a mikvah in this, right? If you're going to say that on the level of the rice, I need 40 sa'ah, so I need 40 sa'ah by both. Really hard. Really, I mean, really hard.
The distinction is that by a ma'ayan, the rice level of both is enough for a person as opposed to by a mikvah, you require 40 sa'ah.
Okay, right. So it could be that, I think that's what Sasha was getting at. I think that's certainly possible. Again, we had the suggestion yesterday that the idea of a mikveh, by definition, is a place where water is gathered. Mikveh is not a halacha in the amount of water. Mikveh is a halacha in the place where the water is gathered, and that place where the water is gathered, right, we said the Targum Unklus writes, Bei Kenishas Maya, right, the area that the water is gathered. So it could be that when the Chachamim said that you need more than a revius by a mikvah, what they're saying is that an area with a revius is not considered a area that has water in it. It's not a Bei Kenishas Maya. So it doesn't work to be machshir. But a ma'ayan of any tiny amount, a ma'ayan kolshehu, has the din of ma'ayan. It could be that, rabbinically speaking, they uprooted the din of mikvah. Because mikvah, rabbinically speaking, means you need 40 sa'ah. Short of that, it don't help.
The water itself is kosher, but the area is no good.
Exactly. If I have a puddle outside, no, I walk outside and I now have, and it's raining, so I have a puddle. So you're going to tell me that water that should move him into that puddle, right? This is like awesome. No, I can build if you want to build a really cheap, quick mikvah, all you need is walk outside when it's raining, you make up, and you have puddle that accumulates, and then pour 40 sub should move it into it, and it's all grand. Right? So that can't work because you need an area that contains 40 sa'ah. That's probably the answer. Okay. That is.
So this kind of the question of whether, right, we're talking about the shame of versus the tefillah.
Yeah.
So what the shear is necessary for? I mean, it's less than 40 sa'ah. Means that it's not a mikvah, or is it a mikvah, not a tefillah? So.
I think that question is very connected to this. Absolutely. In other words, if less than 40 sa'ah, what we're saying is that less than 40 sa'ah is not a mikveh at all. It's not just a psul in the tevilah. It's not just that I don't have enough water to immerse in. It's the definition of a mikveh means I need 40 sa'ah of water. That's what we're trying to say. Again, in this book, the Chalkas Bin Yomin, he makes that point. Somewhere. I could look in my notes where exactly he makes that point, but he makes the point. Okay, so another possible nafgamina in this question as to whether the idea of hashaka, is it based on making it the same mikvah, or is it based on just removing the psul in the water? So this is Schwartz talking, okay? So if you don't like this, that's fine. But this is my own idea. If you remember, we had a dispute between Rabbi Tam and the Ri in Gittin and Daf, Tesvav, Tezayin, right? When I speak about Ashvoferes Hanud, that hole, right, we said yesterday has to be like around 5 centimeters diameter, right? The hole that connects the mikvah. So the Rabbeinu Tam says the hole has to be 5 centimeters, excuse me. But you don't need 5 centimeters of water to go there, right? Let's say the hole is, right, let's say I have my basin over here, so it's this deep, and I have my hole at the very top of the basin. So my hole is Ishvoferes Hanud. My hole is 5 millimeters. I only have water that touches the lower part of that. I only have water, let's say a sa'ara, a hair breath. Rabbeinu Tam says it's good. The Ri says, no, you need water to fill the entire hole. So what does this issue have to do with? So I would say as follows, again, this is Schwartz talking. If you don't like it, be my guest. But I would say that if the idea is that I need to make these two basins into a single basin, I have one basin called She'uvim, one basin is drawn water, right? One basin called kosher mikvah water. If I want to make it a single basin, I need a hole between them. The water doesn't have to flow through and through that hole. I just need, right, a hole. And the hole makes it like it's the same basin. No? If I have a window between two rooms, can't I say the two rooms are like one room on some level? No? A big window, right? How big the window is, I don't know. But two rooms can become one room through a window. A hole might, a big hole. Even if the water doesn't completely fill that hole, that might be enough. Now that would be based on the halacha of chibur, the halacha of making it a single basin. If I hold that the way it works is based on zeria, is based on the water touching and removing the psul on the water, so I would say logically, you should need that the water completely fills up that hole. Right? It's a halacha in, zeria is a halacha in the water. Right? The Rabbi Natan is saying that you need a hole, not the water through and through. That's because according to Rabbi Natan, what I do is I make it a single basin. I think that's another possibility. Just to do a third issue, and then I want to talk practical mikvahos. The third issue that might relate to this is as follows. So if Memphis in Shulchan Aruch is based on the Mishnah and Perek Vav, Mishnah Ches, right? Remember, one of the biggest sources that we're talking about, I know biggest, not so big, but like most important sources, is that you are metaher mikvah ha'elyon min ha'tachton, tachton min ha'elyon, right? I have a pipe connecting two mikvahs, all is grand. Well, the Rash and the Rosh, they're bothered by your question, how does my pipe connect these two mikvahs and make it kosher? When the halacha is that a pipe which is susceptible to tumah is a problem to make a mikvah. You can't have a mikvah made through items that can be tumah. That's called havayaso ayyadei davarim kaval tumah. Or we had the other girsa chiyuso ayyadei davarim kaval tumah, right? I like that other girsa, the array, and that's just because I'm weird. But the fact is havayaso ayyadei davarim kaval tumah passes a mikvah. So here's my problem. I have an upper mikvah and a lower mikvah, and I have a pipe between these two mikvahs. Right? That's a Mishnah Perek Vav, Mishnah Ches. Well, how does that solve the problem? Shouldn't there be a psul of Havayosai Deidavim Kabel Tumah? Right? The Mishnah speaks about I have a Silon Shel Eiver. Eiver is lead. Lead is metal. Metal is Mekabel Tumah. So how on earth does this work? So comes along the Rush, and the Rush says, I'll tell you how it works. Because, you know what? What's my problem? My problem is that this pipe is Mekabel Tumah, right? It's a lead pipe, it's Mekabel Tumah. Well, this lead pipe is connected to a kosher mikvah up on top. And the kosher mikvah removes the psul of Havayaso Ayyadei Davarim Kabel Tumah. That's what the Rush writes. Because it's connected to kosher water, it solves the problem. Comes along the Rashba, and he jumps up and down, and he spits wood and nickels, and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. The pipe that we have over here is not a lead pipe. The Rashba has a different text in the Mishnah. Instead of Silon Shel Eiver, he has Silon Shel Eitz. And he's assuming that it's the type of wood which is not Mekabel Tumah, even the level of Drabanan. But sometimes Pshutei Kli Eitz is Mekabel Tumah Drabanan. The Rashba says it's not Mekabel Tumah. Or the Rashba writes, and we'll talk about this a little bit more. The Rashba writes, let's say it's a pipe of metal, but if you have a pipe of metal that's attached to the ground, it's no longer Mekabel Tumah. The halacha that metal is Mekabel Tumah is when you have a metal item that is freestanding. But anything that's mechubar lekarka can't become tumah. And that's the halacha. So again, so the Rush says that effectively hashaka removes a psul of havayaso ayyadei davarim kaval tumah. The Rashba says hashaka does not remove the psul of havayaso ayyadei davarim kaval tumah. And we have to say that the pipe in that Mishnah, Perek Vav, Mishnah Ches, is not a pipe that's Mekabel Tumah. That's what the Rashba writes. Okay, gentlemen, what does this depend on? You're smiling. You know the answer. What does it depend on? The same question. No? If the halacha is, so I'll say it like this. Havaya, ayyidei davar mekabel tumah, is unlike she'uven. She'uven, I could say that the water is possible. Havaya is not that the water is possible. It's that the mikvah is not a good mikvah, right? Well, if, however, I make it like it's a single basin, so then it's going to be fine. However, if I want to say that the water becomes kosher because that water is in contact with kosher water, well, that ain't going to work by Havaya. If you look in the Taz in Se'if Katan Gimel, right at the beginning, the Taz notes that Hashaka works, or Zeriya, he uses the terms interchangeably, Zeriya and Hashaka, he says that works by She'uven because the psul is that the water was not attached. When I have, right, that's what She'uven means. I detach the water, so when I reattach it, it's fine. The Havaya is not a psul that the water is detached. It's a psul that somehow, right, the Pasuk says, Ach, Mayanu bar, mikveh mayim, yiyeh tahar. Yiyeh tahar means that only tahar items can make mikvahs. So one could argue that the same machlokas, or the same conceptual question as to how Hashaka works, should be the two opinions in Shulchan Aruch Se'if Mem Tes, whether Hashaka works for Havaya Ayudei Davar Mekabel Tumah. It's worth noting that the Shach quotes that the pipe has to be open the whole time. Even those who say that I can permit the mikvah, the lower mikvah, with the pipe between them, because Hashaka Sazapam of Havayan, they Devam Kabotuma, they do not say it. They only say it, I should say, when the pipe is open the entire time. If the pipe is sealed off, is closed, so the water stops flowing, then it doesn't help. This, I think, connects to the idea that we've been mentioning, the notion that the reason why it works is because it becomes a single basin. So that is the first issue that we've been talking about, Zrina and Hashaka. Okay, so now, gentlemen, those of you who are on Zoom, I'm going to try to draw the pictures in a way that you could see it. I could also draw the pictures on the Zoom, but then the people in front of me won't see it. This is a standard mikvah. Right, this is our standard mikvah. Right, our standard mikvah, let's say, is, we'll do it like this. On the level of the oraisa, a mikvah is a very easy thing to build. I dig a hole, rain comes down, fills up the hole, and now I have a kosher mikvah. No? Pretty easy to build. Well, what's the problem with doing it this way? The problem of doing it this way is it's going to get really dirty over time, no? If I have rainwater that just falls in a hole in the ground, people are not going to want to be tova in there because it's kind of yucky. So I'm going to have to keep on digging new holes now and then. And it's cumbersome. It's a difficult process. So we don't do that to build a mikvah. Rather, what we do is we fill this basin, the basin that someone immerses in, I fill it with tap water. We are assuming, for this conversation, that tap water is non-kosher for a mikvah. To solve various problems, what we do is, next to this basin of tap water that I actually immerse in, I have two other basins of kosher water. This one I'm calling the Bar Zeriba, which means, and this one I'm going to call the Bar Hashaka. The way I'll solve the problem is as follows. I pour water from the city. I pour tap water. I pour that into the Bar Zeriba.
The water then goes and flows through the hole and it ends up in the basin. Over here, I should say like this. Right? There's no tap. This basin is empty. I pour tap water into the borderia. It fills it up. So now I have basically tap water that fills it up. But this tap water became kosher through Zeriga. Right? Zeriga again means I plant it from the top. I also have a plug over here. I have kosher water on the side. I have a plug between these things, and I open that plug, and that makes the water that was chemically tap water, that makes the water kosher. Okay, let's go slowly. I have a borzeria. I pour tap water into my borzeria. That water overflows into this basin. We're going to call this basin B. We're going to call this A and this C. I pour tap water into A. The tap water from A fills up B. And I also have rainwater that is contained in C. And I open the plug, and that permits the water in B. This is a standard mikvah. Why do I do this in such a complicated way? The answer is I want to solve all the problems in Judaism. Meaning, I take my tap water, which we are assuming is pasul water. That tap water goes into this borzeria. Well, according to the Ravid, this water that ends up down here won't be kosher because it's called nasan sa'ab and natal sa'ab. Because the tap water goes in, but it also comes out. So for the moment that it's here, it's kosher. For the moment it comes out, that's nasan sa'ab and natal sa'ab. So according to this one sheet of the Ravid, it's a problem. So I solve the sheet of the Ravid by having a hashava, by having a plug between these two pits. But here's the thing. The Shach says, in the name of the Rabbi Yerucham, I have to keep that plug open when I go into the mikvah. When the woman goes into the mikvah, usually the first woman who goes at night pulls the plug, right? This is other parts of your day. You pull the plug, right? So the first person goes in, pulls the plug. And that makes it kosher water. Well, says the Chazon Ish, this doesn't really solve any problem. Because once I pull the plug, there's going to be water that travels between B and C. And I'm going to have a problem of nasan sa'ab and natal sa'ab. I'm not going to have a problem as quickly as I have it over here. Over here, the problem happens right away. But over here, the problem will happen over time. Once I pull the plug, so water will go from C into B, from B into C, nasan sa'ab and natal sa'ab. And according to the Ravid, it's really bad. So how do I solve this problem? So Chabad solves this problem by digging very deep. And they have the bar hashaka all the way at the bottom. That's called D. D is the Chabad pit. Now this costs tons of extra money. Because what you have to do is dig really deep. And you wait until this fills up with kosher water. And then you put a piece of plexiglass between B and D.
On top of each other? So it's like there's two...
This is D. This is kosher water. Okay. And B is tap water. And I have a little hole between B and D. A little hole between them. And that hole between them means that the kosher water in D solves the problem with the treif water in B. That's the way Chabad solves the problem. But this also doesn't solve the problem. Again, it might take a little bit longer. But the water is still with osmosis, right? Chemistry majors, osmosis, no, it is fun. With osmosis, so the water from D, right, which is the kosher water, will end up going over here. The water from B is going to go over here. Nasan sa'ab and natal sa'ab, or the water might become pasul. So this is hard. And it's also very expensive to do a Chabad mikvah. And also most of us are not Chabad. So we're not going to do that. What is often done, though, is we have a split-level bar hashava. When we go to the Breuer's mikvah, I hope we'll see this, which is that you have the bar next to, I go into this pit. This pit ultimately has tap water that went into it. The tap water goes from here into the Zeriya, into the pit, into the bar Tevila. Now, I do hashaka. The hashaka is, right, from the lower part of C to the lower part of B. But I also have, right, a very big B, and there's a piece of plexiglass between, with a hole in it, between, we'll call it B1 and C1 and C2, between C1 and C2. And therefore, the assumption is that there's going to be less osmosis.
Can you explain again what was happening with the double layer?
So I have a layer. I have we know, just like Chabad does, there is a less water flow. There's less osmosis top to bottom than there is side to side. So I don't want to do just one level in my C. But if I have 80 sa'a of kosher water in the sea, 40 on the top, 40 in the bottom, so then what I really have is less concern of osmosis, right? Because even if the water from here goes in here, the water from here is going to go down here, and it's all kosher water still. So this is often what's done. Does it solve every problem in Judaism? No, but it's much better. This is how mikvahs are built in the year 2022. Right? Basically, we have a bar zariya and a bar hashaka. This helps, by the way, because if I want to clean the mikvah, the area the women go into, well, I keep on pouring tap water into the zariya. It goes down into the B. I close up this hole when I pour the water in, right? Then even if this water is non-kosher water, I open up the hole and it's fine. Right? All is grand. This is the way mikvahs are built. Deep breath. Now, the assumption of the way we build mikvahs is that my dear beloved tap water is no good. And if tap water would be good, I have a very easy way to build a mikvah. No? Take a bathtub. Make the bathtub a little bit bigger than usual. Okay, here's a bathtub. Right? And have a faucet. And the tap water goes in and fills up my bathtub. Wouldn't that be a really easy way to make a mikvah? And then somehow I drain the water. I'll have my drain. I'll clean it all out, right? And then I start again. And there's no problem shuvin if you hold the tap water is kosher. So is tap water kosher for a mikvah? So if you take out the chelpas binyamin in Os Shin Pei Gimel, the chelpas binyamin writes, tap water, mikvah, treif, terrible, worst thing ever. You can't build a mikvah out of tap water. And he writes, this is what all the poskim say. That's his expression, right? This is Shin Pei Gimel in the Chakas.
I'm saying it's according to where would this come from? Where do we have Shulchan Aruch?
Where do we have it in Shulchan Aruch? Well, we're going to talk about that. Right. We're going to get there. Right. So he says, "Tuf kein tufsu kol ha poskim bepshitas." All the poskim assume tap water is no good. And he gives us a few sources, Rav Moshe, volume 3, Siman Samach Gimel. Okay. Right. Rav Moshe has a tshuva to Rochester, where he says tap water is no good for a mikvah. It happens in this book, Rabbi Nissen Tolushkin, Chabad Rabbi, Brownsville, awesome Jew. Right, Rabbi Nissen Tolushkin has a whole essay about tap water beginning on page 143 in the book. And a certain Rabbi Zweig took issue with what Rav Tolushkin said. Rav Tolushkin basically permitted the tap water. And Rav Tolushkin writes at the end that a new Jew came and moved into New York. His name is Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. And Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says that in Russia, during certain times, when they had difficulty, they would use tap water for a mikvah. So I'm not exactly sure. All of the Svarim quote Rabbi Moshe in the Igris Moshe that he says it's a problem. But on page 167 in the Taharas Mayim, he quotes it, Rabbi Moshe says tap water is okay. Okay, but like the Chelkas Binyamin says all the poskim say tap water is no good. All the poskim, right? The word all means all, A-W-L. All the poskim say it is no good.
Well, is that true? Is that all the poskim? So I know of three Gaonim and Tzaddikim who are not quoted. Two of them I understand why they're not quoted. Our friend Rabbi David Miller, right? I know why he's not quoted, because, right, Rabbi David Miller, The Secret of the Jew, published 13 editions, right? All of his beautiful pictures, right? You told me you could buy it on Amazon for $250. I bought it for $2 or $1, I believe. I got a steal. But Rabbi David Miller permits, page 366 and following in his book, says that tap water is kosher for a mikvah. Rabbi Rosenzweig's grandfather, Rabbi Yudo Rosenberg, was the chief rabbi in Montreal. He was actually Masada Kedusha for my grandparents. And Rabbi Yudo Rosenberg in his Sefer Mikveh Yehuda says tap water is good. And Rabbi Nissen Telushkin, in a very lengthy discussion about tap water, says it is okay. I don't think we'll be able to finish the entire conversation today, but we're going to start. What are the issues with the tap water? So Rabbi Telushkin writes at the beginning of his essay on page 143, he writes that lots of people assume that tap water is no good, but the Aruch HaShulchan says it's kosher. Aruch HaShulchan, Os Kuf Samach Tes, says tap water works to build a mikvah. He says it. Okay. He says, Rabbi Telushkin begins, that the people who say you can't build a mikvah from tap water never investigated how tap water comes. How, when I open my tap and I get something called tap water, how does that water come to my bathtub? So Rabbi Telushkin writes that there is water that comes, and he's talking about New York City, only New York City, only the five boroughs. That's all he's talking about. He writes that the water comes from the Catskill Mountains, and the water ends up flowing into a very large reservoir. The reservoir now is called Neversink. From that reservoir, the water goes based on natural water force, and it gets into a very big building. In that big building, they have stones and the like. I don't think this part is true anymore. And the stones filter the water. The water then goes through pipes. And the pipes are really big pipes. And the big pipes become smaller pipes and become smaller pipes. And then, eventually, when I open my faucet, what I am doing is I am taking water that is coming from the reservoir up in Neversink, let's say. That is one way that you get water. There are, of course, other ways that you get water. Croton is a reservoir in the Bronx that he talks about. He mamish gives like all these detailed things. And he talks about how certain communities in the city have tanks that they hold the water in. The areas that have tanks are the area called Riverdale. Riverdale in the western edge of the Bronx. Highland Park, which is in East New York, and Forest Hills, which is in Queens. He's detailed. Right? By the way, he's going to talk to you about which blocks in Riverdale are an issue, which blocks in Riverdale aren't an issue. The man is like super detailed. The water that comes from tanks is much more problematic because the tank is a keli. It's a receptacle that they take and they attach to an area and the water comes out of there. That water might be shu'uvim. He discusses that perhaps it's going to be kosher because it doesn't have the din of a keli once it's attached to the ground, but he says you should really be careful and not to use a mikvah in Riverdale that comes from tap water. These tanks are a problem. In Riverdale, they are a problem on Delphin Avenue and West 258th Street, on Iceland Avenue and a Grosvenor Avenue, West 204. Any of you from Riverdale, you know this stuff? 246th Street in Grosvenor Avenue. in Fieldston. Fieldston is like the wealthiest part of Riverdale. That's like, if you build a mikveh out of tap water in Fieldston in the 1940s, again, I don't know if this is still true anymore, it would be a problem. On page 153, he goes through block by block in Riverdale, which blocks are getting their water from these tanks, which blocks aren't. I find this kind of cool that he did this. So, the problem is, though, that ultimately all my water is coming, let's say I don't live in Riverdale. Let's say I live in a different part of the city. All my water is coming from this reservoir, and the water goes through pipes. Are the pipes problematic halachically? Do the pipes make it havaya ayudei davar hamakabel tuma? So that issue, right, the water that comes into my bathtub comes from pipes, right? Do I assume that the pipe is a metal pipe? It's mekabel tuma. So this issue is addressed the famous in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Pisnei Tshuva Oslam and Gimel, that water, if you have a silon shoma teches, which is mechubar lekarka, it is not mekabel tuma. If I have a metal pipe that's attached to the ground, it's not mekabel tuma. There's no problem of havaya ayidei davar mekabel tuma when the metal pipe is attached to the ground. All of these metal pipes are attached to the ground, no? All the pipes that... Shulchan Aruch Se'if Mem Ches in the Mechaber and the Rama agree that if I have a pipe that is mechubar lekarka, even if it's not tumun tachas hakarka, even if it's not dug under the ground, but the pipe is not mekabel tuma once it's attached to the ground. So far, so good. Well, the pipe is not mekabel tuma because it's attached to the ground. And Noyed Yehuda is going to Pesach Tshuva that a pipe is only not mekabel tuma if you made the pipe in order to attach it to the ground. But if you make the pipe to use in a detached way, and you happen to attach it, the Noyed Yehuda says it is then mekabel tuma. The Chassam Sofer disagrees. The Chassam Sofer says it is still not mekabel tuma once it's attached to the ground. All of our pipes that we have that are used to take the water, these are massive pipes, no? They're made specifically to attach to the ground. According to the Noyed Yehuda, not a problem. So there's no issue of havaya ayudei davar mekabel tuma. But I have another issue, which is that how come right now the water is not running, I hope it's not running, out of my faucet into my bathtub? Why is it not running? So I have something called, I turn the faucet, which really means that, well, there's like a piece of metal that's blocking the water. When I turn the faucet on, I create some sort of vacuum that draws the water, right, out of those pipes into my bathtub or into my sink. So far, so good. Well, that little bit of metal perhaps makes my faucet itself a keli, because it's a receptacle, holds water. So says Rabbi Tulushkin, come on. It's made to attach to the ground. It's not a keli. Don't worry about it. Maybe it would be a keli insofar as you couldn't go to the mikveh inside that pipe, okay? So do not try to put yourself inside that little faucet and immerse that way, right? Bad idea, not recommend. But right, the water that comes out of it, Rabbi Tulushkin says, is perfectly fine because of two things. First of all, it's not a keli since it's attached to the ground. Second of all, once I open it up, that means that my water in my bathtub is technically connected to a ma'ayan up in Neversink, 200 miles away. Or in Croton, which is like 50 miles away. And if that's the case, so we have in Se'if Memtes, that chibur to a ma'ayan might solve the problem of havayos ayidei davar kabel tuma. Right? Two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Machlokes between the Rashba and the rest of Judaism. Well, the simple meaning of Shulchan Aruch is that he's lenient on this question. Says Rav Tulushkin, all the water that comes is going to be okay because it's connected to Neversink. That's one argument. However, there are a few other problems over here. A few other potential problems. There's something called a water meter. Well, before we talk about meters, let's talk about pumps. Let's talk about water pumps. Water pumps. Why do you need a water pump? You need a water pump because the way it usually works is I open my faucet, I create some sort of vacuum, and that draws the water from the area into my bathtub. Right? Well, that only works if you have enough pressure or enough of a vacuum that's created to draw the water to your bathtub. Let's say, however, my water is pretty far away. And let's say it has to go uphill. So the little bit of pressure that comes because I open my faucet won't be enough to draw the water into my bathtub. So I need something called a pump. There are two different types of pumps that they use. Again, is this what's done? I did not do research today. I didn't look around like at the Gaon and Tzadik Wikipedia. I didn't see what he has to say on these topics. But just 1940s, Brownsville, New York, Bronx, New York, whatever it is, right? Nissen Tolushkin says there are two types of pumps. There is what is called a suction-based pump, and there is called a centripetal force-based pump. Okay, the suction-based pump basically works that I have like a plunger inside a tube. As I pull it up and up and up, I draw more, I create a larger and larger vacuum, and the water will come out. That's a suction-based pump. Obviously, it's more powerful than just the vacuum that's created when I open my faucet. It's much bigger than that. That's a suction-based pump. The other type of pump is called a centripetal force-based pump, which is, again, they're both operated electronically. But the centripetal force-based pump, what it does is there is a motor that takes the water and it pushes the water up. The suction pump pulls the water. The centripetal force pump pushes the water. It doesn't pull the water. This, if you could see, is the picture of a centripetal force pump. In Rabbi Miller's book, he has pictures of pumps. Rabbi Miller, by the way, was a plumber. He knew this stuff. He knew how you make the pumps. That's why they... So, the pump, is the pump a kli that is mekabel? Is a pump a kli? Does any water end up being stuck, being lodged in the pump? Says Rabbi Tolushkin, I spoke to the New York City Department of Water Supply, and I spoke to a Mr. Samuel Judenfreund, who is the head of the engineering department of the city, and he knows this stuff. And they all told me that the pumps won't work if water is stuck in them. These are massive pumps. But the pumps just take water through and through. The water doesn't get stuck at all in the pump. Point one. Therefore, says Rabbi Tolushkin, the pumps do not have the din of a keli and doesn't create an issue of mayim she'uvim. Water meters. Water meters register the amount of water that I have. A water meter usually works that it's narrow, then it widens in the middle, and then it's narrow again at the top. That's how a water meter works. Right? Something like that. Well, Shulchan Aruch has a case about that. Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Lamed Ches, I think, that Sif Lamed Vav, if I have a pipe that's wider in the middle, it's not going to receive any water. Water won't stay there. Water meters are not a problem, says Rabbi Tolushkin, says Rabbi Miller. Rabbi Miller writes quite forcefully over here. Maybe we'll kind of leave it like this. Rabbi Miller writes, he has lots of pictures of his water meters, and he writes, there's been discussion among some observant Jews about the qualification of using a water meter. Is it considered a vessel or utensil? After listening to all the arguments, this author has by personal investigation found that those who raise the question are unfamiliar with the construction and mechanical principle of a water meter. They assumed, or were led to believe, that the meter has a receptacle space, a place in which some water may be retained. This theory is in contradiction to the fact, which everyone can investigate. There is no such thing as a space to receive or hold standing water in the meter. Should that be the case, the water would hinder the working of the meter, in et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? This is the interior view of a meter, et cetera.
Because it's not wide enough to absorb water.
It is created in a way that no water stays inside it.
And it's not because of the shearing, it's because of the structure.
And the structure of it is such that no water stays inside it. Yeah. Rabbis are great masters. In order to understand the Torah, they must be in a position to intelligently interpret it. Many of their accomplishments remain in standing of outstanding importance. However, as a plumber, I can tell you, the man is hysterical. This author, by vocation, is a builder, practiced in construction and engineering. I am familiar with water supply systems and their contrivances. On many occasions, I have taken them apart and thoroughly investigated water meters of different makes. I find there is no space in the meter capable of retaining standing water. There is no reason for questioning the qualifications of a water meter. There is no justification for hesitating to use a mikveh where the water is obtained through the regular water supply, etc., etc., etc. Page 366 to 374, that's what I just read. Now, do not go home and build a mikveh out of your tap water. There's much more to be said about this. We're going to have to continue tomorrow. Guys, have a great day.